in Jesus' name. All right, if you have your Bible, and you should bring them with you, open with me to the first epistle of Peter. First Peter. I'm going to just kind of take, in the time that we have here tonight, I'm going to just take the whole book of First Peter and try to give you some highlights of First Peter, because the whole theme of First Peter is tested by fire. Test. Say that with me. Say tested by fire.
Tested by fire.
Okay. Y'all are awake, aren't you?
Amen.
Okay. And I asked you a while ago. I said, how many of y'all are going through some trials and through some things? You know, if you live long enough, you'll face some things. Amen. You'll face some things that will try to get you to stumble. Try to get you to falter. A lot of people don't endure, so they don't complete their Christian walk. A lot of people give up because it's hard. They think it's hard. Now, it's hard sometimes to stay committed. But the only reason it's hard to stay committed is because you never made that commitment to stay committed. Amen. You can't, you know, it's just like it's got to be forever settled. That you made Jesus the Lord of your life and you're not looking for a way out. Nobody in here tonight looking for a way out of their salvation, are you? Okay, so if we're in this thing, let's do it all the way. Let's do it with our whole heart. Let's serve God with our whole heart so that we can find God. Amen? Now, let's just read. Let me just read a little bit and then we'll back up here and look at some of these things, okay? Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm just going to start in verse 1. To the pilgrims of the dispersion of Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia and Asia and Bithynia. Now, you know, if y'all study the Bible or you know a little history, you'll find out that those are actually the provinces of what would be the modern day Turkey. This was part of the Roman Empire at the time. This book of 1 Peter was written, of course, by Peter somewhere 63 A.D. about the time of Nero, that wicked, very demonic Caesar was the emperor empowered over the Roman Empire. Out of the 15 Caesars of that period, 14 of them were homosexuals, which Nero was a homosexual as well. So he's not the kind of person that, you know, you'd want your daughter hanging around with. He was the one that was instituted, if you will, or began to persecute the Christians. He went as far as to set the whole city of Rome on fire and then blame the Christians for starting it. So that started the hatred and the animosity towards Christian people. So I'm just trying to tell you this so you get the understanding of why Peter, the apostle to the Jew. Paul was the apostle to what? To the Gentile. Peter was the apostle to the Jew. So 1 Peter, in essence, is mainly, it's speaking, or it's a letter to the Jews that had come to know Christ, or those who had become saved. In other words, the Christian Jew, or the completed Jew, as it's called, who was saved. So that's what this is about. And Nero, you know, began to persecute and started history tells us about 230-something years of tremendous, tremendous persecution of the Christians. He would do things like put them on a stake, talking about a stick on a pole, and douse them with some kind of fuel and light them and let them become human torches. Just to light his backyard barbecues or whatever he was having. And so he was a very, very evil person. Of course, the devil always has his people, right? And If we think about the Holocaust, the time of Hitler, you know, maybe 6-7 million, but you know, history will tell us here there was millions of Christians that were martyred, that were slain because of their faith in Jesus Christ. We really don't know. We don't know about that kind of persecution. And what he's telling us here, he's telling us that we need to be ready for anything. We need to be ready for anything. And in order to be ready for anything, we've got to understand what happens in the trials and in the test. Now let me just read a little bit of this to you. It says, verse 2, the elect according to the knowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Pay particular attention to what's being spoken here in this epistle. It says, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, now look at this, you greatly, what? What are we supposed to do when we fall into different trials and temptations? Okay. Just want to make sure you're with me. It says, in this you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while, say little while. Make sure you understand that. Because whatever you're going through, you're just going through. You're just going through for a little while. Amen. If need be, you have been grieved by various trials. You have been distressed. You've been stressed out because of some of the things that you've had to go through. It says that the genuineness of your faith, in other words, proving our faith, because you don't really know where your faith is until you're pressed. Proving the genuineness of your faith. In other words, are you real? How many of you believe that you're a real Christian? Okay. You may get a chance. You may get a chance to show that. It says, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though, look at this, here's what I'm titling this. It is tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter was saying, listen now, because a day is coming. I believe, and I don't want to get too much off the subject tonight, but I believe that even in America, you know, a day is coming. We really don't quite understand the persecuted church. But we're beginning to live in a time where to be politically, correct, you have to respect all of the religions of the world. But it seems like the less respect is for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In other words, don't offend all these other ones, but it's okay to offend our God. See, that's what it's trying to come to. Again, because why? Because we have taken God out of so many things. And when you take God out of things, what do you have left? You don't have anything left, right? And so we have to make sure that we understand there's people that hate us today. There's people that try to slip into this country and do harm to us. coming across our borders, disguised and underground, so that they can do harm to us, do harm to your children. I mean, it gets bad when you can't even go into a mall without somebody maybe opening up fire. Hello? I'm just telling you, and you know, I don't have anything really to back me up other than just signs of times. But there may be some days where we're going to see some things with our own eyes. But let's don't get nervous about it. Let's don't get in, you know, let's don't lose our faith. Because we're going to be tested in these things. And if you think about, I was talking about those three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace the other day. The only thing they lost, I mean, no, you know what the only thing they lost in that fire, in that furnace, was the chains that have them bound. Are you with me? I'm just telling you that though you have a fiery trial, listen, you're not going to die from the trial. Now, the worst thing the devil can do is take your external life, but he can't take your internal life. You're going to live forever. But he tells us that we're to rejoice in these things. God allows us to go through these trials. Yeah, he does. I didn't say the trials come from God, but these trials are to purify us. Look at what it says again. It says that the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold. Now, let me just stop there a minute. Do you know how they purify, how they process gold? That goldsmith, what does he do? He puts that in a vessel, and they begin to heat that till it becomes molten, and heats it to I don't know how many degrees until it is completely molten. And he looks down in that vessel, and it has to be heated, and then the process has to be repeated until it becomes pure. And the way that he knows that it's pure or is at its most value is when he can look down in that vessel of the molten gold and he can see his face clearly as if he was looking in a mirror. In other words, if he looked in there and it's still a little murky or still a little blurry, then it's not pure enough. And so he has to heat it up more and he has to redo the process of the heat until he can look in there and see a perfect reflection of his face. And that's what you need to understand. The more that the heat is on you, the more pure that you come and become for Jesus. The more that the heat comes from the trial and the testing of your faith, the more pure your faith comes and the more you reflect Jesus in this earth. Amen. Now that's what Peter's trying to tell us here. Because, you know, you and I, we can't even begin to fathom all this kind of stuff, these things that these people went through. Now, let's just read on here because the theme is, yes, you're being refined, but you are being purified like gold. How many know that gold is the most precious metal there is in this earth? It is the most valuable. Gold has always continued to value. It has become more valuable, not less valuable. The gold standard is what our currency is set on. And so your standard is gold, amen? You're not paper. You're not dollar bills, but you are the standard of gold, and you are being tried and you are being tested so that you can become pure, so you can become the most valuable commodity there is, and that's precious. And that's what he's comparing it to. That's what he's telling us that it is. Now let's read on here. It says in verse 8, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you what? You rejoice. There it is again. With what? With joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Now here's what I want to teach you. We're to rejoice because, now, how can we rejoice when we're going through the fire? How can we rejoice when we go through all these things? You know, again, these Hebrew children, I think one of the things that astonished King Nebuchadnezzar is that when he threw them into that furnace, he could see that on their face there was a glory. The hotter the fire, the more glory of God that you reflect. Now listen to me. You know the furnace was hot. Hey, the furnace was hot because the people that threw them in, the soldiers that threw them into the fiery furnace, they were killed by the intense heat of the fire. But yet, those Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of there, didn't even smell like smoke. Their eyebrows, their hair, nothing was singed on them. Are you with me? The only thing, now listen, here's what you find out. When you are burning at the height of the hottest of your trial, here's the good part. What happened to them when they were in the midst of the fiery furnace that was so hot that just the men around it were killed and annihilated from the intense heat? Jesus showed up. Now that's what you got to remember. It just seems like that when you're in the midst of a trial, when you're in the deepest of your trial, is when Jesus is going to show up. He shows up because he wants to assure you that he's right there with you, that he won't leave you and he won't forsake you. Now we got to get a hold of this. Now I want to give you some things because, sometimes things will happen because of the disobedience. You know, there'll be some things that will happen in this country, for example, just because of the sin of our nation. When they were taking Jonah and he was supposed to have been going to Nineveh, he was running from God. But how many know everybody on the boat got in the storm? So we can expect some storms to come. Are you with me? So why do we keep our joy? Why do we keep it in the midst of our trial? Well, first of all, how can we express joy? Number one, look at verse 3 again. We can express our joy because he has begotten us to a living hope. In other words, we can rejoice because we know that our names are written down in the Lamb's book of life, and he that believeth on him shall never be ashamed. Are you with me tonight? We can rejoice because we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but by the incorruptible seed, and washed by the precious blood of the Lamb. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. Now, he is our living hope. He is our living hope. Remember again, Paul was an apostle of faith. John was an apostle of love, but Peter was an apostle of hope, always giving people hope in the midst of their trial. Now, the first reason we can rejoice, no matter what, is that we've been born again. How many of you have been born again? All right. Now, go to me, if you will, verse 13. I got to hurry here. Therefore, gird up your loins of your mind. Gird up your loins of your mind. The NIV, I don't know if we have that on the software, but that's all right. I'll just read it to you. It says, prepare your minds for action. Now, that's what we're doing in here tonight. We're washing our brain. We're renewing our mind. We're getting our game face on. I don't know if you ever played sports in school. You know, the practices weren't much fun, but boy, the game time. You sit in that locker room and you get all dressed out, and the coach says, okay, boys, it's time to go out on the field. I mean, you ran out there. You had your game face on. You had your best shout. You had your best growl. How many know that it's time for Christians to get their best game face on, man? We've been practicing. We've been studying in the Word, and we're ready to go out and face anything. Amen? Not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own might, but by the power of God, the God of glory, amen, that works on the inside of us. So that's what he's telling us here. We got to make sure that we prepare our minds, okay? Verse 14 says, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy. And he's talking about your conduct there. Verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition of your fathers, but what? Look at verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And then come on down to verse 23. He says, having been born again. The first thing that you need to understand that when you're in a trial, you've got to remember that you're born again. Amen. It says, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Remember, heaven and earth will pass away, but what's going to remain forever? The word of the living God. Amen. And verse, let's just go into chapter 2 here, because I want to tell you the first point, that's point number one, is that you got to remember that you're born again. Now, chapter 1 tells us that we have to be ready for anything. How many know that when you got born again, you didn't sign a contract with the devil telling him to leave you alone? Okay, sometimes people forget that. They think, you know, well, I got born again, so I won't ever have any more trouble. No, that's not the way it works. Okay, let's look at chapter 2. It says, therefore, laying aside all malice, verses 1, let's read it. It says, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. As what? As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. We need the milk and we need the meat. Sometimes we try to get ahead of ourselves and try to chew on the meat, but we haven't grown up with the milk. You don't feed a baby, you know, sirloin steak until he's able to digest it. Are you with me? Okay. It says, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. How many of you have tasted that the Lord is gracious? Oh, man. Amen. So, look at verse 11. It says, I don't want to leave some of these out. Let me look at verse 5. It says, you also, as living stones, being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture. And he talks about there, you know, the cornerstone. And then come on down to verse 9. It says, you are a chosen generation. Look at somebody and say, you are a chosen person. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. A what? A special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And he goes on to tell you, you once weren't a people, but now you are a people. He said, I will be a God to you and you will be my people. So here's the second reason that we can rejoice when we're in trial, because he's made us part of a royal priesthood. What does that mean? That means we're part of royalty. We are part of the royal family. How many know the royal family gets favor? The royal family gets privileges that the average citizen doesn't get. Your citizenship is not here. Amen. Are y'all with me tonight? Okay. So let's just keep on reading here. Chapter 2, verse 12. It says, I don't want to leave any of these goodies out. I got to get in a hurry here. He tells us in verse 10, he says, you were not a people. Verse 11 says, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims. In other words, we're just what? We're just passing through. We got to keep that in mind. We're just passing through, okay, from fleshly lust which war against the soul. In other words, don't get too comfortable here. There is a lot of comforts here, amen? Thank God for air conditioning. Thank God for heat. Thank God for automobiles instead of burros. But you know what? We got to make sure that we keep that in the forefront of our mind. That there's nothing that we want to give up Jesus for. Having your conduct honorable. Now look at this. Among the Gentiles. Among who? Now he's talking about our character. Oh, see, now we're talking about how we look to other people. I don't mean whether your hair is combed or not. I'm talking about how you look. Are you the real deal or not? Remember? Because the trial is going to show you whether you're real or not. You know what else it's going to show? It's going to show your character.
Amen.
You know, persecution can cause... Now listen to this. This is a principle you need to always remember. It can either cause growth or it can cause bitterness. I remember preaching a sermon one time. You can choose to become bitter or you can choose to become better. The only way you're going to become better is by the decisions you make. See, a lot of people don't get past the trial because they become bitter in it. What did he tell us to do? He told us to rejoice. How can we rejoice? Well, first of all, I can rejoice because I'm born again. I've been born by an incorruptible seed, by the precious word of God. I've been purified like gold. I'm not based on some standard of value that has no value. I'm on the highest standard there is. The blood of Jesus. Amen. Then I can rejoice because I'm part of the royal priesthood. I have, remember, access into the Holy of Holies. I've learned that I can access God through that boldness. Amen. I don't have to cower down through condemnation that the devil's trying to put on me and tell me how ugly and how bad I am and all the things that were in my past. When the devil starts talking about, you know, my past and trying to bring it up, I just start talking to him about his future. I mean, oh, his future is not too bright. He's going down. Everybody say, he's going down. And I don't know about you, but I plan to be whole side. And watch him spin in eternity forever where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hallelujah. So you got to keep in mind, let's just be ready. Let's don't cave in when the fire is getting hot, because the hotter the fire gets, the more pure that we're going to be on the other side. Oh, man. So it tells us that in our great, verse 12, I want you to circle that one. Because what verse 12 tells us, that in your greatest trials is also going to be your greatest opportunities to witness. Did you hear what I said? Remember what Nebuchadnezzar, as he looked into that fiery furnace, what he noticed that on the countenance of their face, they never lost that glory. They never lost that joy. What happened when he threw Daniel in the lion's den? Daniel was in there smiling and praising God. What happened to Stephen in Acts chapter 7 when they were stoning him? The Bible says that the whole countenance of his face was lit and he looked like an angel. And what did he say? He said, forgive them, just like Jesus did when he was on the cross. Are you with me?
Amen.
Amen. So verse 12 becomes an opportunity for you and I to be at our best. Because that's when people are going to take notice whether you're the real deal or not. Anybody can talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? See, when you get in a pinch, when you get in a bind like they do, are you going to scream? Are you going to holler and say, oh, Chicken Little, the saints came in. Oh, it's me. Are you going to stand strong in the word and in what God has promised you? Well, you can do that knowing that you're part of a royal family, a priesthood, a chosen generation. Amen? Now look at verse 3. Oh, man, we got to hurry. What's the first word in verse 3? 1. Wives. Huh? No, wives, not likewise. Wives. Likewise. Well, it depends on what version of the Bible you have. But listen to me. Maybe we got some wives in here that are going through some fire. Now, if you're with your husband, you know, just keep looking forward. What does it say? Now, look at this. Wives, likewise, be what? Submissive to what? Your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they with what? Without a word, in other words, without you preaching to them, may be what? Won by what? By the what? I know you women don't like to read this part, but I opened it up so you can read it, okay? By what? By your conduct. By your conduct. Sometimes they get tired of hearing the preaching. They ain't going to listen to it anyway. But what you're supposed to show them is that you really are who you say you are in Christ. That God has done a number on you. Amen? That He has changed you. Are you the real deal or not? See, we don't know if we're the real deal or just a dilly until the heat's on, right? Okay. It says, when they observe your chaste conduct, accompanied by what? By fear. Do not let, you know, it goes on and talks about, it's not so much the outward, but it's the inward person. It's the hidden person of the heart. And look at verse 8. It says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, and be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, what? Blessing. We are called, here's the third point I want you to see out of 1 Peter, is that we are blessed. It says, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Not only am I blessed on this side, but remember, I'm going to be blessed on the other side too. Amen. Now, there's a difference. See, there's a difference. Notice, I can rejoice because what? Number one, I'm born again. Number two, I can rejoice because I'm part of the royal family of God. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. I'm just passing through. And then the third one, the reason I can rejoice is because I'm blessed. I'm called. I'm called to be a blessing. I'm called to speak blessing over people. You are too. What happens when an unbeliever or when the world gets mad? What do? They cuss. Or they give you the salute with one finger. But what do Christians do? They bless. What do? When you're going there in that crowded parking lot at HEB and you see that parking spot and all of a sudden out of the corner and somebody comes right in front of you and pulls right in there and don't even want to look at you. You're supposed to lift your hand and say, bless you. Yeah, Lord. Come on, say, Lord, bless them. What does the world do? That and they got one finger at you, but you got your whole hand saying, bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. You see the difference between somebody that understands that they're blessed, but not only just blessed in life, but going to be blessed on the other side of life. There's an inheritance. That's why he's the apostle. Peter is the apostle of hope, because there's a hope on the other side of this thing. Oh, come on, let's read some more here. It says, for he who would love life and see good days, say good days, would refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and what? And do good. Let him speak peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to what? Their prayers. How many of you want God to hear your prayers? You're going to have to practice blessing. Amen. It says, but his face, or the face of the Lord, is against those who do what?
Evil.
So verse 13 says, and who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? Who is he that can harm you if you become followers of what is good? Man. Sanctify the Lord in your hearts. Always, he says, be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, and meekness and with fear or with reverence. And verse 18 says, for it is Christ who also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh and made alive by the Spirit. Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Say, every word that I speak is a blessing. Everything I put my hands to do will be blessed. Because I'm blessed to be a blessing. I'll speak blessing. Even when somebody does me wrong, I'll raise my hand and say, bless them. That's what it means. That's what it means. That's why Jesus and Stephen, they could look out, but they never lost that shine on their face. They never lost that glory because they knew that they were just passing through. So that's verse, that's chapter 1, that's chapter 2, that's chapter 3 in the highlights. And look at verse 4. Now, we don't curse people, but we speak blessings. Amen. That's what we're called. Say, that's what we're called to do. That's what we're all called to do, is to speak blessings. Chapter 4. So here we go again. I'm born again. I'm part of the royal priesthood. I'm a blessing. And then the fourth reason here that I can rejoice is because that I am a Christian. That's what Christians do. They rejoice in the Lord. Always. And if you didn't get it, I'll say it again. And again. Amen. All right. Let's look here. Verse 4. Let me read a couple of verses out of here right quick. Are you all y'all with me tonight?
Amen.
Okay. All right. Where are we at? Chapter 4. Look at verse 7. It says, but the end of all things is at hand. Sounds like a title of a movie. Therefore, what? Be serious and watchful in your prayers. Be serious. Know that there's some trials and there's some tests coming. Sometimes we get into some bad situations, don't we? A lot of them are our own doing. I don't know if y'all ever watch that show called Survivor. I hardly ever, but I flipping through and I saw something. I don't know if they do it every week. They drop this guy in the middle of somewhere and he's got to survive. They dropped him the other day in the middle of a desert. And he had to survive. And here come this big old sandstorm. I mean, sandblasting. And he found a dead camel in the middle of the desert. I don't know if you saw it or not. And all he had was a knife. And he gut that camel and took all the entrails out and climbed up inside the carcass of that camel while that sandstorm was blowing like crazy, beating everything down with the sand. And then when the sandstorm was over, he came out of the camel and he had survived in that desert, that sandstorm. Now, a lot of times, I think that's where some of us Christians feel, we feel like, you know, we're in some bad situations. But how many know God's always going to provide a way for our escape? He's always going to provide a way for us to survive no matter what the storm is. Are y'all with me? See, I can get something out of anything if I look hard enough. And I'm just trying to tell you that, hey, we're born again. We're part of a royal priesthood, amen? We are called to be a blessing, and then we can rejoice because, hey, I'm a Christian. That's what it says. It says, and above all things, he says, have fervent love for one another. How many of you know that love will cover a multitude of sin? Thank God. Come on, thank God for the love of God. Amen. And he says, beloved, do not think. I'm almost sorry. Beloved, do not think it's strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. In other words, don't think that you're the only one going through things. Everybody's going to go through something. Sometimes people have to face things and go through things that are harder than others. But don't get yourself over in a pity party. Just know that that trial is there to purify you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And it says, but what? But what? Rejoice. Say it again. Say rejoice. The reason I can rejoice, look, he says, to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad and what? With exceeding joy. Somebody say, ha, ha, ha. I mean, laugh every once in a while. Laugh at the devil, amen. Fake him out. Let him know you ain't succumbing to that pressure. Let him put it on. I mean, we got to get to that kind of place. And he goes on and says, if you are reproached, for the name of who? What? If you're reproached, if you're persecuted for the name of Christ, it says, blessed are you. Hey, blessed are you. Amen. For the spirit of glory and of God, what? Rest upon you. On their part, he's blasphemed. But on your part, he's glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, or evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's business. Quit minding other people's business. Mind your own business. Amen. If anyone suffers as a what? As a what? If anyone suffers as a Christian, why can I rejoice? I'm a Christian. What? Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I may walk through the flood. I may have to go through the flood. I may have to go into the mud, but thank God for the blood. Amen. Thank God, whatever you go through, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? Fear no evil, because God is, he's God. Oh, God. God is with me. Yeah. All right. Verse 5, we're almost done here. You ready? I'm just talking. See, the whole theme of this is tested by fire. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. They're going to come. You didn't, listen, you didn't sign a contract that the devil wouldn't bother you anymore. So be ready for whatever comes. You're born again. Amen. You're a Christian. You are blessed. You're part of a royal priesthood. Here's the fifth thing. It says, let me just kind of condense this down here in chapter 5. It talks about, you know, it talks about suffering. But suffering is really, it comes from a derivative of the word of encounter. In other words, you're going to encounter some problems if you live long enough. Okay? And so in chapter 5, it talks about this. Let me see where I want to pick up here. Verse 6. It says, therefore what? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Did I miss anything in chapter 4 that I want you to see? No, I guess I got everything. I got everything. I just want you to know that there's going to be opportunities for you to have that trial come at you, and then what are you going to do? See? Well, are you going to rejoice? Or are you going to cave in? Are you going to be a winner? Or are you going to be a loser? Okay? All right. That's what the theme is. That's what it's trying to tell us here. And in verse 6, it says, therefore, what? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you, or that he might raise you up, casting what? All your care upon him, because he cares for you. He tells you to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion. In other words, he goes about looking for opportunity. The Greek there is looking for opportunity to snare you or to take you captive. Amen. It says in verse 8, and it says, resist him in verse 9, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So, verse 9 tells us that we're not unique. Every Christian will face a fire, will face a trial. Verse 10 lets us know that the fire is maturing us. May God, look at verse 10, may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Now, what's the next word? There you go. After. Say after. After you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. See, here's the fire is maturing you. Maturity is defined as how much opposition that you can take without folding. Did you hear what I just said? How much can you take of the opposition without caving in to the pressure? That's going to determine whether that fire is maturing you and making you better, or you're becoming bitter in it. I think I'll choose better, because I know the fire is purifying me to reflect the glory of God. And verse 11 says, to him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. And everybody said,
amen.
And verse 14 is another one. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Let's get a little more revelation on that before we practice it. Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. Well, my fifth one, or the fifth point I put in here, was you come out on the other side better than you went in. That's how you can rejoice, because in the end, you're promised the victory. You have the victory. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, let's all stand up. Let's give the Lord praise. See, just praise the Lord a minute. Just praise God. You know, we don't understand sometimes why things are written. I mean, we know they're written for our benefit. We know that they're there for our admonition. But you have to go back and you look at the day in which that Apostle Peter wrote that epistle. It was in the highest peak of the persecution of Christians. The Apostle Paul, more than likely, had already been killed by Nero. That's what tradition and history tells us. And they would take a Roman official, some official in the Roman government, and they would have public display in a public meeting. They had a platform. And he would call actual Christians up to the platform and tell them to denounce the Lord Jesus Christ and declare that Caesar is Lord, or you die. In other words, they had to have an ethical decision made on the spot. They would come up and he would tell them to denounce God, denounce Jesus, and declare Caesar is Lord. And they'd lift their hands and they would say, Jesus is Lord. That's where that comes from. And of course they'd be shot. Or not shot, but crucified and killed, martyred. So we don't really have any, you know, there's, I know this because I get reports. I mean, I know there's, even in these days, there's underground churches. In these Muslim countries, you know, you can't even have three members of your family have any kind of a Christian Bible study or anything. It's illegal. China, they have underground churches. You're not allowed to have any kind of Christian paraphernalia or Bibles. I mean, we live in such a blessed country and take everything for granted, right?
Amen.
We get offended if somebody calls us, you know, hey, I don't care what you call me, just don't call me late for supper. Amen. Amen. Isn't it a shame how people just let things bother them? It takes them out of the race. Come on, lift your hand right now and say,